Hi, today we will be talking about prescriptive analytics. So far we have seen the various component of analytics. It could be descriptive, it could be diagnostic, it could be predictive. And we have seen how they are used and how they help in business decisions. The most important aspect of every component of analytics is how they can empower the business. Now we are moving on to that component of analytics which plays a major role in guiding how to do and what to do. Every output of the different component of analytics is used in different way, and prescription analytics is a kind of analytics wherein a business decision is driven with the proper measurements that how and what can be more beneficial for the business. Prescriptive analytics is the area of data analytics that focuses on finding the best course of action in a scenario given the available data. Related to both descriptive analytics and predictive analytics, it emphasizes on actionable insights instead of data monitoring. So here we are not talking about how data is looking. We are talking about what best can be done for the business using the data that we have. Prescriptive analytics aims to find the best solution given a variety of choices. It empowers the company to make decisions based on optimizing the result of future events or risk. It provides a model to study them. Prescriptive analytics aims to find the best solution given a variety of choices that a business have. It empowers the company to make decisions based on optimizing the result of future events or risk. It gathers the data from a variety of both descriptive and predictive sources for its models. It applies them to the process of decision making. It can measure the impact of a decision based on different possible future scenarios. It borrows heavily from mathematics and computer science because both are playing major role in identifying the right course of action. Mathematics helps you via the algorithm that it supports, whereas computer science supports you via the technology that we have, which are used to process such amount of data. Prescriptive analytics is the third and final phase of business analytics. It also includes descriptive and predictive analytics, and which are another component of prescriptive analytics. So when we are talking about prescriptive analytics, it basically can be summarized in a final solution to every problem. So when we are describing the data, or when we are doing descriptive analytics, we are basically finding out what exactly has happened. Using the power of diagnostic analytics, we drill down and identify that what are the components which are impacting that growth or degrowth. Using the predictive analytics, we identify that what can happen in future. Now using prescriptive analytics, using the outcome of all those other components, we will be able to identify what should be the right course of action to be taken by business so that business can perform better. Understanding and selecting the right descriptive, predictive and prescriptive analytics is a very, very important component. A robust analytics environment, which includes descriptive analytics, which is all about what has happened, predictive analytics, which is all about what could happen, prescriptive analytics is what should we do. Having understood in detail about descriptive and predictive analytics in the previous chapters, let's look at a prescriptive analytics, how it helps in business in taking the right course of action. Prescriptive analytics is basically the advice on possible outcomes. Let's suppose you are talking about the various outcomes that can happen. As an example, if you are able to identify that these are the consumers who can come and shop during a particular period, then you can decide the course of action basis the amount of people that you have who can actually come and shop. Let's suppose out of 100, 30 people have the chances to come and shop with you, whereas 70 doesn't have chance. Then you can create a prescriptive analytics algorithm to understand how to drive those 70 consumers to the store as well, plus what should we do for those 30 consumers so that they upsell or cross-sell as well. All these actions will actually help in deriving more sales out of the same consumers. As an example, the 30 consumers who are likely to come, what you can do is you can find out the type of products they prefer to buy. They must be coming for the same products or the similar products. You can identify what does those products drive or what are the other products that can get driven along with the products. If in case these products prefers to buy beauty products or apparel products, can we design something so that we are able to sell non-apparels as well? Like, can we sell perfumes to them as well? Can we sell watches to them as well? Because if they are likely, then we will be able to do cross-selling with the 30 consumers and we will derive more sales. Additionally, those 70 consumers are less likely to come to shop. Then we can create a better action plan to drive those consumers to the store. As an example, what we can do is we can create a huge discounting offers for these consumers so that they actually turn up to the store. Ultimately, using these prescriptive techniques, we will be able to drive these 70 consumers to the stores and we will be able to do cross-selling for the 30 probable consumers. It allows users to prescribe a number of different possible actions and guide them towards a proper solution. So this is what we identified using the example that we just discussed. So when we are talking about prescriptive analytics, these analytics are all about providing advice. So here you are a doctor and you are providing the prescriptions to the business that you should do step A and step B and step C. These are the profitable steps, and there from there only you can derive more sales. Prescriptive analytics attempts to quantify the effect of future. So if in case somebody is saying that these regions will go down in sales, you will be able to understand that how much they will go down and how much you can safeguard. It predicts not only what will happen but also why it will happen. If you understand the whys, you can avoid those reasons or you can remove those reasons out of the pathway and hence saving the business from those things to be affected with. It provides recommendations regarding actions that will take advantage of predictions. You can predict multiple futures. It allows companies to access a number of possible outcomes that can be taken with respect to every business action point. Once you are able to analyze those various outcomes, you will be able to decide which is the right course of action with respect to the business. It uses a combination of techniques of tools, business rules, algorithms, machine learning, computational modeling procedures, and creates a combined package of all these things to understand what can be done. It applied against input from many, many different data points which are collected to finally decide the further action points. Prescriptive analytics are relatively complex to administer because here you are trying to find out the various action points. Till predictive, you are understanding what can happen. Now, to create a prescription medicine out of the solution that you have developed, you need to check multiple sources and multiple ways and multiple outcomes, then only it can be fruitful. Most of the companies are not yet using them in their daily course because it's not that easy to be converted into an action point. When implemented correctly, they can have a large impact on how business make decisions. It used to optimize production, scheduling and inventory in the supply chain. So when we are talking about how prescription analytics should perform, we will first be finding the prediction. What can happen, what will happen, why will it happen, then we will decide the decision point that how should we benefit from the decision points that we have gathered. Once we are able to take the right decision, we will measure the impact of the decision. If each and every decision is giving certain impact, whether that impact is acceptable to the business or not. And if it is acceptable, how much more we can leverage out of it. Using the combined decision-making process of prescriptive analytics, action points are created, and those action points are then utilized within the business. So by this time, you would have understood that there are many uses of prescriptive analytics. Let's discuss few of them. One of the more interesting application of prescriptive analytics is in oil and gas management. For manufacturer, the ability to model price on a variety of factors allow them to make better decisions. So if they are doing prescriptive analytics, they will be able to decide that which will be the right price model for their product. And should they keep a same price model, or there should be a different price model for different geographies. In healthcare business intelligence, prescriptive analytics is applied across the industry, both in patient care as well as healthcare administration. If certain things are not working properly in case of healthcare, they can remove them out of the system, and they can find out that which are the better alternative with respect to the existing healthcare model. Insurer also uses prescriptive analytics in their risk assessment models, because once they are able to identify the risk factor with respect to every insurance sector, they are able to adjust them. As an example, if in case a health insurance is provided by a company and they see that the type of health insurance they are providing, there are many people who goes for the health insurance of approximately 10 most commonly or deadly diseases, what they can do is they can put a terms and conditions on those 10 diseases. So if they have understanding of which are the healthcare conditions which can derive more money out of the business of insurance, and which are the kind of a diseases which are more likely to happen, they can put them out, or they can tick them out, so that ultimately they can make a profitable business instead of a loss making business. Difference between predictive analytics and prescriptive analytics is extremely easy to be understood, because there is a fine line between the two. But predictive analytics is actually an input to the prescriptive analytics. Prescription is basically decide basis the outcome of predictive analytics. Predictive by itself is not enough to keep up with the increasingly competitive landscape. Prescriptive analytics provide an intelligent recommendation on the optimal next step. If in case next step can easily be measured, that how and what can be happen and what could be the approximate impact of the action plan, then it becomes extremely easy for the decision makers to take the right decision. Predictive analytics forecasts what will happen in the future, while prescriptive analytics can help companies alter the future. Because if we are expecting a sale of approximately 100 crore, if there are certain things which can lift up the sale and can give 105 crore, then that extra 5 crore is equally important with respect to the business. They are both necessary to improve decision making and business outcomes, but both are completely different type of analytics techniques. When you are talking about analytics in action, both type of analytics inform your business strategies based on the data which is collected. The former focuses the potential future outcomes, whereas the latter helps you draw up the specific recommendation. Content and working of perspective analytics. Predictive analytics answers the question, what is likely to happen? Goes beyond predicting future outcomes by also suggesting actions. Prescriptive analytics can continually take in new data to re-predict and re-prescribe. So a predictive model is completely and continuous in provides complete and consistent input to the prescriptive analytics models. Prescriptive analytics ingest hybrid data and the combination of structured and unstructured data to predict what lies ahead. So there are various ways and various things which are a component of prescriptive analytics. You will be using machine learning for predicting. You might be using operation research for optimizing. You might be using computer vision to identify or product identification or a consumer identification. You might be using natural language processing to identify the sentiments or the feedbacks. You might be using applied statistics to identify the various algorithms that can help you take appropriate action plan with respect to the data. You might be using it in signal processing. You might be using it in image processing or in many other factors. There are many usage of prescriptive analytics as they are for other analytical techniques as well. Let's take few examples wherein they can be used, and let's use them, take it from the oil and gas industry. Few of them are planning. Which reservoir, drilling, completion and production variables have the greatest impact on production? If we are able to identify them, we will be able to improvise on them, and we will be able to utilize or plan better ahead basis that. How closely should we space wells, or do we have a stage overlap formation containment? Does the order in which we treat and produce adjustment wells matter, or if it does, why it matters? With respect to the production, we can use prescriptive analytics to identify which stages and clusters were treated effectively and treated as expected and why, which stages are producing or are producing as expected, which are not and why they are not, how should a well be produced to maximize its lifetime value. In case of secondary recovery or EOR, what we can do is we can use prescriptive analytics to identify when should artificial lift be introduced in the life cycle of a well to maximize EOR. When should EOR be introduced in the life cycle of a well in order to maximize EOR? Does EOR result in higher recovery rates, or are recovery simply accelerated? What is the incremental ROI of EOR? What is the point of diminishing returns? In case of images, we can use 2D, 3D, 4D, seismic, micro seismic, well logs, mud logs. We can use these images and identify that which are the action areas. In case of videos, download, camera monitoring, fluid flow can be used, and then accordingly we can take our plan a course of action accordingly. Let's see a few examples where prescriptive analytics can help. Again, in industry of oil and gas, unconventional resource development. The basis of competition for operators in upstream E&P is the ability to effectively deploy capital, locate and extract resources more efficiently, effectively, predictably and safely than their peers. Prescriptive analytics software can accurately predict production and prescribe optimal configuration of controlling drilling. Prescriptive analytics software can also provide decision options and show the impact of each decision. Maximize the impact and economic value of assets and at every point over the course of their serviceable lifetime. It can optimize configuration, anticipate and prevent unplanned downtimes. It can optimize field scheduling and improve maintenance planning. Prescriptive analytics has been deployed to predict whether and why will an ESP fail. In the area of health, safety, environment, prescriptive analytics can predict and preempt incidents. And in case of pricing, natural gas prices fluctuate dramatically, and gas producers, pipeline transmissions companies and utilities firms have a keen interest in more accurately predicting gas prices, because if they are able to predict the gas prices, they can control the prices and accordingly they can convert them into profits. As an example, if our oil and gas company comes to understand that there can be a price hike in next few days, what they can do is they can safeguard the oil and use it in future, so they have more inventory now, and more inventory can be converted into profitable inventories. Prescriptive analytics software can accurately predict prices by modeling internal and external variables, and hence can be used for right course of action. Prescriptive analytics can help in healthcare as well. Let's take few applications wherein they can be used. Prescriptive analytics improve effectiveness of their clinical care delivery. It providers can do better population health management by identifying appropriate intervention models. Prescriptive analytics can also benefit health providers in their capacity planning, because if they are able to identify the right capacity amount needed, they will be able to plan the inflows and outflows of the patients. In pharmaceutical companies to expedite their drug development, they can use prescriptive analytics. It can identify patient cohorts that are most suitable for clinical trials worldwide. So when you are able to understand that these are the set of consumers which are best for your clinical trials, you can directly go to them and apply the clinical trial methodologies. But if you are able to identify using prescriptive analytics. Analytics can tell companies how much time and money they can save if they choose one patient cohort in a specific country versus another. So by far we have understood that how prescriptive analytics can help you in deciding the right course of action and can be used to take right decision. Let's take for one practical case study wherein you will understand the importance of practical prescriptive analytics and will be able to understand that how it is used. Recently, a deadly cyclone hit Odisha, India, but thankfully most people had already been evacuated. The Odisha Meteorological Department had already predicted the arrival of monstrous cyclone and made the life-saving decision to evacuate the potentially prone regions. Because of these, since they were able to identify that this is the area where this cyclone can hit and can create a hell lot of destructions, they evacuated the people, and basis that the prescription or the action plan was that these areas will be hit most. If they move the people to some different location, the life loss will be less. Contrast that with 1999, when more than 10,000 people died because of similar cyclone. They were caught unaware since there was no prediction about the coming storm. So what changed? The government of Odisha was a beneficiary of prescriptive analytics. They were able to utilize the service of meteorological department's accurate prediction of cyclones, their path, strength and timing. They use this to make decision about when and what needs to be done to prevent loss of life. Now, how the problem statement starts? The problem starts with setting up of a problem statement. As an example, if in case you are trying to identify the customer churn, you will be saying that what amount of people have churned from your business. Churned basically means have moved out of the business. So if you are a Airtel subscriber and you have moved to Vodafone, then for Airtel, you will be considered as a churned customer. The senior management in a telecom provider organization is worried about the rising customer attrition level. Additionally, a recent independent survey has suggested that the industry as a whole will face increasing churn rates and decreasing ARPU, which basically means average revenue per unit. The effort to retain customers so far has been very reactive. Only when the customer calls to close their account is when we take up action. The management team is keen to take more proactive measures on the front. Now, when you are talking about churn, you need to understand that when the customer churns, it gives you a bigger loss because it's economically effective to sustain an existing customer rather than acquiring a new customer. Because acquiring a new customer drives more cost as compared to keeping the or sustaining the existing customer. Why? Because when you acquire the new customer, you need to adopt various methodologies. You will be calling them, you will be offering them, you will be doing marketing activities. You are still not sure that whether the customer will join your services or not. And if in case you are targeting 1,000 people, let's suppose only one turns out to be only one can gets converted to the customer. So such things happens when you are acquiring new customer. So it becomes extremely cost oriented to acquire a new customer. Instead of that, If in case you have an existing customer and you keep offering them service, you know their behavior, you know their likeliness, you know what they dislike, you know what type of feedback they are giving to your service, you know how good or bad they feel about your service. If in case you sustain that relationship, it will be easier for you to maintain this customer. So if this customer moves out, that customer will be turned as churned customer and it will be difficult to acquire new customers. So businesses always focus on keeping churn rate low and maintaining the existing balance of the customer so that they need to less acquire the customer and still need to maintain the business numbers from the existing customers itself. Data scientists are tasked with their analyzing data, deriving insights and predicting the potential behavior of customer and then recommending steps to improve performance of the customers. If they can improve the performance of the customer, ultimately the customer will have less like chances to move out of the service system, and ultimately there will be less number of customers who will be churning out of the out of your customer base. So when we are solving this scenario of customer churn, the problem starts with the hypothesis generation. First, we will assume that these are the problems of the churn and then it will be solved step by step. So everything or every problem starts with the generation of a hypothesis. Generating a hypothesis is the key to unlock any data science or analytics project. We should first list down what it is we are trying to achieve through our approach and then proceed from there. Customer churn is being driven by below factors. It could be cost and billing, it could be network and service quality, it could be data usage connectivity issue, or it could be whether you are not responding to their calls. They are regularly giving feedbacks but you are not attending those feedbacks. There could be many factors which lead to customer churn. There could be other external factors as well, like your competitor is offering much better service at much lower cost. You also need to note down that how your competitors are acquiring your consumers, because when they are acquiring your consumers, you are losing those consumers and those consumers will be turning into a churn customers. Laying down our model building approach. Now you have the data, the problem statement and hypothesis to test. It's time to get what insights can be drawn. The approach is to go through similar steps. Note that you may be removing variables with more than 30% missing value, or you can take your own call on this. Ultimately, when you will be building the model on the same, your objective will be the data that you have created basis the hypothesis that you had thought has to have the complete information. Then only you will be able to use this data to predict about the churning or not churning of a particular consumer. So a usual approach of creating a problem statement or using a problem or solving this problem will be, first you will be identifying the variables, you will be removing the variable which doesn't look appropriate or have too many of outlier values or have too many of the missing value. Then you will be doing feature selection, wherein you will be selecting the most appropriate feature which impacts your dependent variable, which in this case is churn. If a consumer churns, that can be considered as one, and if a customer is not churned, it can be considered as zero. So you will have to identify that which are the variable which helps you in identifying or differentiating between the behavior of ones and zeros. After that, you will be cleaning the data. Cleaning the data means you will be removing the outlier, you will be taking care of the missing values. If in case certain transformation are needed with respect to the variable, those also needs to be performed. Then you will be picking up the appropriate model algorithm. Algorithm could be many. In this case, we are talking about a classification algorithm where the dependent variable has only two categories, which is either churn or not churn. So we will have to go ahead with only those algorithms which supports classification methodology. Few of the algorithms are logistic regression, linear discriminant analysis, random forest, decision tree, ensemble models, and many more. Once you are done with that step, you also need to take care of data visualization and data preparation steps. Here you will be visualizing what are the relationship factors that you can observe. So when you're cleaning the data, you will be identifying the relationship between dependent variable and independent variable. The visualization will help you a lot in this case. Why? Because it becomes difficult to see the relationship via naked eye, that if two variables has a correlation of 7, is it good or bad? But when you create a correlation heat map, you will be able to understand that these two variables have a high correlation with respect to the dependent variable, whereas these three are the lower correlation supporting variables. So you can remove them. Once you are done with this, you will check each and every variable, which is a component of data cleaning step. Each and every variable when you test, this testing is known as univariate analysis, wherein one variable is taken at a time. You will understand whether this variable has any missing value, whether this variable has any outlier value, whether it needs any special treatment. Special treatment might include converting it into a dummy variable if it is categorical in nature. Special treatment will include removing of the outlier. Special treatment will include imputing the missing values. And if in case, once you are done with univariate analysis, you will be going ahead with bivariate analysis. In case of bivariate analysis, you analyze two variables at a time. One is your dependent variable and second is your independent variable. Every independent variable's relationship will be identified with respect to the dependent variable. Like in this case, when you're talking about churn or not churn, and you have many variables like age, you will try to see that 4, 1 and 0, do you have different distribution of age or not? As an example, you might have upper ages who are getting more of churn and lower ages who are not getting churn. If that is the case, then you will be able to differentiate a churning customer and not churning customer using the age variable. So age is an important variable. But if you see the same distribution of ones and zeros and age distributions, you will not be able to distinguish who is churning and who is not churning with respect to the age. In that case, age will not be a useful variable for you. So when you are doing univariate and bivariate analysis, you will be doing and checking various aspects of the data. When you are seeing that which are the variables which impacts the dependent variable, you will have to measure various aspects. As an example, you will try to see what is the mean or average value of drop rates in case of churn and in case of not churn. If in case they are same, that means that customer is not getting churned or can't be identified as a churn using the drop rates. But if in case there is a higher drop rate in case of churn and lower drop rate in case of not churn, that means drop rate is a major factor of churning. Similarly, you can see the average number of calls being made, number of SMSs being sent, amount of data being used with respect to the ones and zeros, where one means customer is churned and zero means customer is not churned. Once you are able to identify, you can plot these relationship. If in case you are doing the study in R, then there are various packages like ggplot2 which helps you create proper charts to identify the relationship. If in case you are going ahead with Python, still they offer, or Python offers, a very good handful of packages like matplotlib or seebone. You will then analyze the numeric variables separately and non-variables separately. When you are checking the dependent variable with respect to a categorical independent variable, you will see it in form of either confusion matrix, that amount of customer churn and then the respective categories. And if in case your independent variable is numeric, you will see the aggregation of the data with respect to the 1 and 0. You also need to identify the relationship between one independent variable to another independent variable. If in case they are highly related to each other, that problem is known as multicollinearity. The independent variable should not be related to each other, and hence they should not have any multicollinearity, because if they have multicollinearity, that problem actually make it difficult for the algorithm to identify the exact contribution of that independent variable towards dependent variable. As an example, let me give you one scenario. if let's suppose one event has happened and there are three witnesses of that event, one says 0.1 and 2, second says 0.2 and 3, and third says 0.4. Now we know that we got 4 points out of the 3 witnesses with respect to the event. But the problem is, the first witness is saying 1 and 2 point, and second witness is saying 2 and 3 point, which has an overlap of 2 second point. Whereas the third one is giving 4th point, which is completely different from the other one. So we know what is the importance of this third witness. But since 1 and 2 are giving the same information, we will not be able to identify that who is giving more accurate information and how much information is contributed by first and second individually. This is the challenge that happens with respect to the variables as well, and when the independent variables have high level of multicollinearity. To avoid this, we should remove the impact of multicollinearity, and there are various ways to check the multicollinearity in the data. Either you can create a correlation map between independent variables, or you can check the VIF values. VIF values are known as variation inflation factor values. It is usually said that if VIF value of variable is greater than 5, then they have multicollinearity. If in case they have value of above 10, then they have a pathetic level of multicollinearity or a very high level of multicollinearity, and you cannot consider them. Now you have handled the data, now you have cleaned the data, the next objective is to understand whether you have too many variables or too less variable, or whether you have too much of correlation or not. If in case you have a very high level of multicorrelation, then you need to reduce the number of variables. And even if you have very high amount of variable, still you need to reduce the variable, because more variable means more problems and more cleaning steps required. There are various techniques which helps you reduce the number of variable, and these techniques are known as variable reduction techniques or dimension reduction techniques. Few of the examples are PCA or principal component analysis, which can be used to reduce the number of dimensions with respect to the data. Once your dimensions are reduced, you will be moving into the modeling part of the data, wherein you will decide an algorithm which gives you more accurate predictions. It could be your logistic regression, it could be your decision tree, it could be your random forest, it could be any other algorithm which can be used for classification technique. Once you build the model using the set of independent variables that you have and the dependent variable you have, you will identify what are the prediction they are offering or what is the accuracy rate they are giving. It is generally a good idea to train multiple models, otherwise you will not be able to compare those models and you will not be able to understand that what is the benchmark, which model is better and which model is good. As an example, let's suppose your model is giving you accuracy of 75%. You don't know whether 75% is good or bad, or can you achieve more, or can you achieve or this is the highest level of accuracy that you have achieved. If you try multiple algorithms and you try multiple cross-validation techniques, you will be able to compare multiple models, and there are various ways you can shortlist one of those models as a final model. One way is you see which model is giving you best accuracy. The model which will be giving you best accuracy will be considered as the best model. Otherwise, you can also compare it using the AIC value. Each way model will give you or generate an AIC value. The model which gives you the lowest AIC value is considered as the best model. So once your model is in place, that model will be treated as a predictive analytics model and is decided basis the techniques that you have used. You can improvise them further using machine learning techniques as well, like XGBoost or boosting or bagging methods, which improvise the accuracy to some extent. And you can also use ensemble techniques to combine various type of model into ones, which will ultimately help you in predicting the output in a better or more accurate way. Once you are able to predict what exactly is coming out, you can generate recommendations out of it. Here, prescriptive analytics will come into your will come into play. Prescriptive analytics will generate recommendation which will help you improve the model performance. Recommendation to improve performance. How prescriptive analytics will help? If variables removed are more than 50%, probability of changing the decision of customer for every 1 unit change in the respective independent variable, the insight was generated from logistic regression. This is essentially a relationship between logo force ratio and ultimately a non-linear relationship. So we solve this problem using logistic regression. When you are solving a model or when you are creating a model, there are certain summary statistics generated by the model, and you need to understand those summary statistics as well. Then only you will be able to understand that whether model is good or bad. As an example, when you generate logistic regression model, it's a regression algorithm, and this regression algorithm will give an impact of each independent variable towards dependent variable by its coefficient. So if coefficient is huge, that means that variable has a higher impact on the dependent variable. So basis these, you will be able to understand that which are the variable which are contributing more towards identifying whether the customer will churn or not churn, and which are the least contributing variables. Similarly, there will be many other variables which will give you an identification that how much percentage of likeliness of a customer's churn can happen when weights changes. So as an example, if 1 unit is changing, it will change the odds ratio of churning by the impact of the coefficient. To give you one example, let's suppose we have a dependent variable of churn or not churn, and we have drop rate, and drop rate has a coefficient of 2.5. In this case, how will we use it? 2.5 coefficient basically means that every unit change of drop rate, that means either increasing or decreasing of drop rate by 1 unit, there is 2.5% of odds ratio which increases towards churning. So every unit change of drop rate increases the chances or odds of getting a customer to churn by 2.5. So basis these rates, we identify that which are the variable which contributes more towards odds of getting churned. Similarly, along with the set of independent variable, there will be one intercept as well, which will be getting generated and which will have a coefficient. These intercepts are those intercepts which basically means that still there is certain variation in the data which can't be explained by the independent variables that you have taken. So you have taken a set of 10 independent variable, still there will be some information which are contributing towards churning of a customer and can't be identified via the independent variables that you have taken. If such is the case, those variations will be taken as an average and will be captured in intercept variable. Intercept variable is generally considered as the constant value, which basically means that even if other variables are not contributing, still there will be some chance of customer getting churned. So with this, we understood that how model preparation happens, how various stages of model happens, how you go from the data to cleaning of the data, from cleaning of the data to converting the variables of the data, which basically means that if in case you want to change any variable, you want to impute missing value, you want to take care of the outlier value, all those steps will be performed. Once your data cleaning will be done, you will be moving into the modeling phase, where you will be picking up the most appropriate algorithm with respect to the business case. Once your model is generated, a summary statistics will be generated, which will help you understand how much each variable is impacting the dependent variable. Basis that, you will be validating the model and you will be making the inferences. Like in case of churn, if drop rate has a odds of 2.5, which basically means it is a high impacting variable, and for the company, for the prescription purpose, they can keep this as a first target that they will reduce the drop rates by improving their network. These are the all the things that we learned in the session today, in the topics today. We also learned that there are various ways prescriptive analytics can help and design the strategies and optimize the action points. Along with predictive, diagnostic and descriptive analytics, It is one of the major component of analytics because it create a guide map, it create a supporting action plan basis which stakeholders or business stakeholders can take appropriate action. There are various tools that we discussed and which can help you create these models like SAS, R, Python and many other, which can be used and leveraged to create models and generate output and hence create prescription plan. We also understood that there are various type of algorithm that can be used like AI and ML algorithm, basic regression algorithm, classification algorithms, which can be utilized to create prescription plans and hence create appropriate action steps. I hope you learned various things related to prescriptive analytics. Keep learning. Thank you very much.